Welcome to Conversations in Cannabis. Today I'm sitting down with Larry Scheffler, co-CEO and co-founder of multi-state operator Planet 13, to discuss social consumption and the future of the brand. This call was recorded on April 8th, 2024.
Going to be VidaCann and what you guys got going on now in Florida after that acquisition. I know that's like a major state right now in everybody's mind. Amendment 3 going to be on November's ballot. You got to be excited about that.
Absolutely.
When are you guys going to be operational in the state?
We've been ready for a long time. We're waiting on the OMMU to give us final blessing with everything. We're hopefully going to be 30 to 60 days. You know, they say they try to do within 90 days. I think we submitted the final things we had first week of February. So we're hoping about 45 days we're ready to go. Of course, between us, we've done all our contests. We're ready to go. We're having weekly meetings just to keep up on everything. It's what a fantastic team we picked up. We merged with down there with those people.
Nice. Well, excellent to hear. Obviously, one of the largest operations in Florida. So you guys acquiring that was an incredible move. There are some concerns in the Sunshine State, though, with DeSantis. He's traditionally anti-cannabis. Last time we had spoke, you mentioned you believe that he would adhere to the will of the voters. Since that time, he's basically called Amendment 3 extreme. I look through the letter of the law. I don't really see anything extreme in there with the exception of maybe 3-ounce possession limit. But realistically, like, it's pretty cut and dry. Do you think that he'll actually try to veto that bill if it does pass?
I do not think he will try to veto the bill, no. Through our own sources that we keep checking with, we don't see that's going to happen. So, I mean, anything is possible, but we feel very good about it right now.
Well, and I want to believe that he won't do anything, but, you know, hopefully it's just political posture, posturizing on his part that he's not really actually going to do anything towards the bill. There has also been the floating of the 10% THC cap possibly in the Sunshine State. What are your thoughts on that? And does that have a possibility of ever making it?
Well, yeah, there is a cap. We've been working closely with our lobbyists. Some of that actually has been changed. I don't know where it finally stands now. We did quite a bit of research, and it actually kind of did a white paper that we submitted to the governor's office to explain why it didn't. I think some of the people that were putting that cap on didn't really understand it. So we feel pretty comfortable with the way they've ended up with the whole amount of caps on the THC. We think it'll work.
I'm hopeful because when I first heard that, I was like, that doesn't make a lot of sense, especially, you know, you're a more open state, supposedly less regulations. Definitely want to see, you know, Florida proliferate, especially considering the amount of tourism that state has. So, absolutely. You know, hopefully they don't do that. You've done a lot here in Nevada as well. Most recently, you guys opened your Dazed Cannabis Lounge. I believe that was on Friday was your grand opening. Lot of work has gone into trying to get consumption lounges open in here in Clark County. You guys first announced your kind of renderings for what you wanted Dazed to look like back in November. How's the process been for you? And are you really happy with the final result? Because it looks fantastic.
We're ecstatic with it. It's really sensory overload. I don't think anybody else, again, we tried to go over the top of what we do with Planet 13 to entertain everybody. Everybody wants to be entertained. That's our job. So everything we've done is sensory overload. We've got nothing but rave reviews so far on the whole thing. You've probably seen some of the pictures, whether it be the bong chandeliers to the dramatic graphics throughout the whole thing, secret entrances through the phone booths, speakeasy type things, secret door entrance or exit and so on.
Yeah, I did a private tour prior to it opening and kind of saw the Grav Lab chandeliers were incredible. When you're looking at kind of the aesthetic that you wanted to create, it's changed ever so slightly from your renderings, but still has the look and the feel of it. How did you eventually settle on things like, say, the Grav Lab chandeliers? Because I mean, nobody else has anything like that.
Well, it's really Bob and I getting a little crazy. I spend way too much time on Pinterest, first of all. You'll get one idea, what gravitates to another idea. We put our heads together. And we just get a little crazy like we have for all of Planet 13. So we had another gal that works with us out of Portland, Oregon, that used to work in Vegas for 30 years. We kind of brought her out of retirement. She does a lot of designing work for us. With her and myself and Bob, we kind of come up with these ideas that we think are different throughout the whole thing. We really were happy, too, with the attendance the first day. We're expecting, you know, 50 to 75 people, and we well exceeded 100 people the first day. So we're really happy so far with the way it's all turning out.
Yeah, no, and it's been, I know it had to have been kind of a roller coaster for you guys trying to make it through the regulatory process and getting this place open before 420. Can you kind of talk about a little bit about the hoops and the hurdles that you guys had to go through in order to make this a reality for you?
Well, again, you get a lot of bureaucrats that try to do a good job, but they, for instance, they get a little carried away, I think. When I shouldn't say carried away, they list their other consultants that they try to talk to. The biggest one for us, and we actually, and everybody said, we will not build a consumption lounge if this happens. So in other words, they wanted to turn the air over more than they turn over the air in an operating room.
Jeez.
And you know that people are going in there to smoke. It's a smoking lounge. So, but, you know, we kind of put our foot down. Everybody did. It's just not going to work for us. If that's what you guys want to do, that's fine. But we're out. Well, they did acquiesce and did a little more research and found out it was just way too much. It was $1 million alone for the air handling equipment. It's just not going to work, right? So thank God they did a little more research and refined it for us, which is able, you know, which was able to make us actually build a lounge and going to make it profitable for us. So that's just one of the things, but there's always a lot in the bureaucratic process, as you know, that drives you crazy.
The regulations in Nevada have been kind of all over the place, it seems like, when, you know, adult use first got implemented. Within Nevada, I know you guys had the problem with alcohol distributors having to actually move your product for you because of the way that the law was written, that got resolved. When you're looking at the way the consumption lounges are done now versus a place like California, are you concerned with the regulatory requirements of something like, you know, you can't bring in cannabis from the dispensary or you can't take out what you haven't smoked? Are you hopeful that some of those regulations will start to get tapered off? Because, I mean, Joe Lombardo, he doubled the possession limits. I would like to believe that they're looking at all of the regulations.
Right. Well, I guess the state's argument of that was you can't go into a liquor store, buy a six-pack, and take it into your local bar and say, serve me my beer. Sure. Okay, so I understand, because I didn't understand at first, but they made a good point. Also, you can't have a beer in most places, right, and take your beer and leave with it, right? Mm-hmm. You can't take alcohol out. So that's the reason for the state kind of trying to trail on what they're actually doing with alcohol. Will it change? Go ahead.
I was going to say, well, I mean, if you take that example, though, you can't reseal a beer. I mean, I can recap an eighth. You know what I mean? Or recap a quarter ounce. Like, I'm really hopeful that eventually they'll relook at these regulations and just be like,
we're not
alcohol.
I am too. But that was their argument on why they went, this is the first try. They don't really know what to do. They're thinking about it. As they see, it's not as much danger. It's really okay. And it's different than alcohol. I think they will change that also. And yes, I'm hopeful they do it also. But right now, that's what we're stuck with.
Well, I mean, at least we have it now. The sunset clause has ended. Consumption lounges are opening up. I mean, you know, and I feel like Nevada has taken a careful approach first to regulations and not trying to make any mistakes and then refining after the fact, which, you know, I'm not entirely against. I do hope that they relook at that regulatory situation, though. When we first talked, you know, you had mentioned the smoke lounge being part of your initial concept of, you know, consumer all day, right? You wanted somebody to come in, be able to go to the dispensary, buy something, maybe sit down, have a bagel, have a coffee during lunchtime, have a pizza. Two of the pieces of that puzzle that haven't came to fruition yet is your day club and your nightclub concepts.
Correct.
I know you had mentioned you wanted to build a nightclub somewhere on the first floor and then the day club possibly on the roof with a pool. How far out are we from that being a reality?
That actually wouldn't open. If we got a couple of years to build, we'd probably be 8 months out before we can start with all the rest of the zoning, all the rest of it. It'd probably be first quarter of 2026 before that would happen. We now had are looking at a 60,000 square foot nightclub that would be in the northeast corner, 20,000 per floor, three floors high. And yet today's spot would be on the third floor, your head 40 feet in the air. We literally have taken lift already up and shot that video, what it looks like that high in the air, and then put it into our video of all of our planning that we've done for 2 years. So we've actually done a full fly through or walkthrough of the whole club, what it's going to look like, have it all designed, and showing the whole thing. It's actually going to be over the top. There'll be nothing like it when we finish in Las Vegas. It's so different.
Everything you guys do is over the top. I mean, let's be clear. Like, I mean, your LED wall on the inside of your dispensary in your Las Vegas superstore is absolutely bonkers. Same thing with your OC store. I haven't seen your grand opening in Illinois yet. I'm going to be out in the Midwest here in about 2 or 3 months. I'll go check it out. But everything you guys do is over the top, because I can't imagine what concepts you have for a nightclub. Are you thinking like residencies and stuff like that in order to compete with actual day and nightclubs, like, you know, Dre's and stuff like that? Or are you thinking more kind of stoner vibes? Like, what is the concept for this day and nightclub?
We're actually going to keep that maybe a little private right now on what we have going, but it's so different to how we're going to do it. It's everybody, you're right, it falls into this whole scheme of residency and the high cost they're having to pay to all of these DJs and so on. We're going to do ours a little bit different. I guess, of course, part of our DJs that are here is we have cannabis in the facility, but not in the club. It's got to be an alcohol only in the club.
Sure.
You know, you can leave and go across the hallway and smoke at the consumption lounge, go back in the club. But of course, you can't do it in the same room. It's just too dangerous right now.
Right. Do it. They don't want people getting crossfaded too much on the show, dance floor. That's for sure.
Without getting in too much into the club, I mean, I can think of three or four special things in the club that's only been done one or two other places in the world, and none of it's been done in Las Vegas.
Well, I mean, your smoke lounge alone is absolutely ridiculous. Taking the whole superstore concept as a whole is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, you guys have a smoke shop inside of your superstore. You guys have a coffee bistro. You guys got Tress with your food. I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal. And you can actually get delivery into your consumption lounge from Tress, right?
Correct. Yeah, we've done back hallways on both sides from end to end, 400 feet long on either side, so we can go around the entire building without anyone seeing us on internal hallways.
That's amazing. One thing I do want to ask about is when you guys were considering the menu for Dazed, which is definitely not the size and scale of what's in your Planet 13 dispensary side, when you're trying to get that type of curated menu, especially trying to pair it with certain cocktails or certain side drinks, you know, that are infused. What was the kind of process that you guys went through in order to decide what you wanted to offer within your consumption experience?
Well, we had everything from Chris Wren, which is our partner that was been with us from day one, him and his team of talented people that are involved with the Dazed Lounge. They really took hold of that. I've never tried my product yet in my own store. So I'm the wrong guy to ask, but they did a phenomenal job on it. We also have Mothership sponsoring our bar. Of course, Mothership has a high end. So we'll probably have close to $250,000 worth of bongs, some as high as $100,000 at a time that you can rent and smoke out of.
Oh, yeah.
Which is another big plus for people that want to try from out of town. I was at Dazed, and then here's what I did. And it just... another entertainment group for the tourists.
Well, and the Mothership collaboration is absolutely incredible. I mean, you have specific, you know, the kind of these high-end glass companies that are consumer high-end glass that aren't one-offs, you know, things like Mothership or Illadelph, which these are all hand-blown American glass. It's absolutely phenomenal products. How did that collaboration come into fruition?
That was all Chris Wren's baby child again. He talked with them quite a bit about it. They were very excited to be involved with it and said they would love to sponsor their idea. They want to get their name up there, only because we have 1.5 million tourists from around the world coming to our store every year. So the notoriety and the exposure to advertise it for them also is what they wanted to, you know, participate in and
enjoy. And it's an And it's an incredible brand. I mean, I love Mothership. I have one of their blunt glass tips downstairs. I mean, very high-end glass. definitely want to experience that when you're at Day's Consumption Lounge. One thing that I wanted to also bring up is the fact that you are now in Illinois. You're looking to finally open in Florida after the VitaCann acquisition, which would make you live in Nevada, California, Illinois, and Florida. Are there any other markets that you're currently kind of looking out for? I know that a lot of people have been excited about New York, New Jersey. What states or other international markets are interested in the Planet 13 experience right now?
Well, we're open to listening to everybody. We get calls all the time, but unless it's really a great deal, we've got our hands full alone just with Florida. Again, we're going to be opening 26 stores at one time. We'll rebrand them as Planet 13. They have 250,000 square feet of grow facility already operating in Jacksonville. And we should have 10 more stores open by the end of the year. And then if we get the recreational past November, then we'll look at our first superstore in the Miami area right on the water.
That's... I can't even imagine the logistics in trying to rebrand and open 27 stores at the same time.
what a great team down there, I'll tell you. We've looked at, 30, 40, 50 offers from different people who want to merge with us and so on. But as you start looking into their financials, I owe $50 million in taxes yet, and I got $40 million in debt. This is the first company that have paid their taxes up to date and had less than $2 million in a real estate loan. No one else is physically responsible like they are. And I can't believe we finally found them. And what a great team, the owners. So we're so happy.
That's a great marriage as well, considering you guys pride yourselves on, kind of being debt-free, being cash flush. Absolutely incredible brand that you guys have cultivated as well. So don't want to lessen what you guys bring to that table. VitaCann, amazing. Planet 13, also amazing. One thing I also wanted to bring up is the first time that we talked, the story of what you had brought, experience to Planet 13, before medicine, before everything. The fact that Planet 13 is, the 13th letter of the alphabet, the letter M, which ties back to when you were in the military, it was secret code for you. Oh, I'm cannabis friendly. And you had pointed out your hand-blown glass pendant in your van, which I believe again was your van that you guys retrofitted for the Planet 13 experience. Right. When is that story gonna be a part of the Planet 13 story outside of a podcast? Because when you look at Planet 13 from the outside, you're like, oh, it's this huge MSO, it's these businessmen. And it's like, no, man, Larry Scheffler, co-founder, co-CEO, is a stoner. He's somebody that came up as a military guy, loved the plant and made it a part of his lifestyle. Like, I can't find that anywhere in the Planet 13 experience about us, the team. When are you going to make that a part of it, man?
Yeah, that's a very good idea. I'm going to have to find the time. But you're right, that'd be a good story. You see that in going in restaurants, how it started. You go in different places and they talk about the history and who started, how it got started from the Mexican restaurants. If you're in town, Lindo Michoacan, Javier Barajas talks about how he started up with a nun's place and that's who taught him to cook and so on. No, that's a very good idea. We're going to have to look at that and see if we can.
Well, it separates you guys. I mean, when you look at you're like, oh, 300 million liquid cash, huge superstores, experiential, multi-state operator. And it's like, yeah, you guys started from humble beginnings as just somebody who smoked weed in the military. And I can't find that anywhere. In fact, I think I even mentioned it to your PR person when I first saw the van. Was like, yo, it's not even on the van that this was Larry's van. It's like, I really want to emphasize that you guys should definitely include that because I think that your guys' story is absolutely wonderful.
I appreciate the thought. No, we're going to have to do that. It's a very good idea. I'm going to bring it up to Bob and see if we were just talking about it again too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, one thing is we are really close to 420, obviously the largest cannabis holiday in the season. What is Planet 13 doing for 420 this year?
We've got a little bit of everything going on here, from circus acts to all kinds of things. Now, we opened the Grand Plaza, we call it. So when we extended the last expansion to get the consumption lounge and the cannabition, which is the museum opening in June or July, which is 14,000 square feet, we also opened up and doubled the width of the hallway to 60 feet wide and 100 feet long. And that's where we have actually stage down there right now. We put tables around and we'll have portable bars. And that's where we're going to have different functions going on during 420, from comedy acts to small singing groups to all kinds of things, from that to circus acts to a little bit of everything going on over the top to have everybody come in. So,
is there going to be anything specific for the Dazed Lounge, considering now that it's open? Anything specific for that lounge for 420?
I think most of us have been to the outside. I think it's so brand new. It's really I don't want to say that. I'm getting mixed up here. We just opened it, but the other thing on 420 that will be out there is we just are changing our Trace breakfast restaurant to Breakfast Junkies. Nice. You ever heard of Breakfast Junkies?
I haven't, but I love breakfast, so I'm excited to hear about it.
Well, they're way past the Henderson Airport, where the building stops, past the M, right?
Okay.
And I'm up in that area, so I heard about it and went out there. And on every Saturdays and Sundays, after 10 o'clock, it's an hour and a half wait. From 50% of the people coming to the restaurant are tourists. Now, if you can convince them through your social media to drive 50 miles away from the strip to go to breakfast, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We worked a deal with them to take over our restaurant. And so they're going to 24/7 on it. They're changing the whole thing, the menu, or they're adding to the menu, but we're very excited about it. We think it'll drive even more traffic here just from what they've done that far away. If they're this close to the strip, we just got huge expectations on what we think they'll do. And if only 1 in 5 people come based on what they're doing out in Henderson, that again drives at $110 a basket. That's drives the revenue, which is the whole thing. Getting people to the store, and I mean people to the store that maybe wouldn't have come because there's different places to buy cannabis. If they're coming here, now we get a chance to sell them here and getting more introduced to Planet 13 through the Breakfast Junkies restaurant.
Well, and yeah, if you're not from Clark County, just to put it into perspective, yeah, the M Resort off of St. Rose is not near the Strip. Oh. So if you are traveling that far to go get breakfast, I mean, Jesus.
Well, I didn't even believe it. I had to go out to see. Is this true? An hour and a half wait? I just going, how are they doing this? So then we started talking. And again, they did the official takeover today, but they won't have the everything completely done. They'll doing the grand opening of 420 also here for that. So that's we're very excited about that also.
That is absolutely massive. I'm going to have to go check them out, Breakfast Junkies, because I am off of Eastern here in Henderson as well. So I'm going to have to go check them out. I always love new breakfast spots. And so that collaboration is finally going to take its full birth on 420. That's kind of like a 420 launch,
yeah.
Even though they've already kind of soft launched.
They've taken over the soft opening and they're running it now, but they're to get all the correct tables and the rest of the decor that they're going to do and change a few things. 420 is the grand opening, hard grand opening date.
Awesome. Well, I cannot wait to try them out. I'm going to have to go to the breakfast spot before I check them out at your spot just to see how it compares.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
If tourists are willing to travel that amount of distance, again, that's a good 18, 20 minutes off strip with no traffic.
Yes.
So, you know, that's a big ask for a tourist that's going to have to take an Uber out there and back. I'm very excited what you guys have brought to the consumption lounge space here in Clark County. I mean, you guys have definitely done it over the top. Dazed Cannabis Lounge. Guys, make sure to go check it out. Again, dazedlounge.com. Or check out Planet 13 at planet13.com. Larry, it's always wonderful to talk to you because you're a monogamous person. You're an amazing guy in the cannabis industry, just in and of itself. But you're somebody who's also, you know, passionate in the sense of experiential, which I feel like the cannabis industry is starting to take a hold of, but I feel like you guys kind of are pushing everybody to do this. So again, what you and Bob Grosbeck have brought to the table, I'm really, really appreciative of it.
Well, you're very kind. I thank you very much. We're just trying to use common sense. You know, we've been here for 54 years, Bob, a little bit longer. And all we know is Vegas, you know, everybody wants to be entertained in Vegas. That's our job. And we thought, this is no brain surgery. Let's just follow the the theme and keep on going. So, but we had the guts at least to try it when everyone told us that it's not going to work. And let me tell you real quick that one of the big cannabis companies, a big MSO, was here when we first opened, and they said, I don't get it. I don't get what you guys are doing. Good luck. You want a side talk to our bankers? He said, I'll give those guys 6 months. It'll be a Korean barbecue. There's no way they're going to make it.
We would like to thank Larry for his time and being on today's episode. If you would like to find out more about Planet 13, please visit them online at www.planet13.com. That'll do it for us today. Thanks again for listening, and as always, make sure to stay tuned to the next episode here on Conversations in Cannabis.